I am Nathi Ndlovu, and this is Tech Central's TCS Plus, brought to you today by Vox. Data is like oxygen in the digital era, and people are using more of it. In 2025 alone, global mobile data consumption is projected to reach approximately 200 exabytes per month. That is 200 billion gigabytes of data consumed monthly by everything from high-definition video streaming to online gaming and IoT. This trend has implications on infrastructure, in the home, in business, and even in shared outdoor spaces. For the people consuming the data, connecting with ease as they migrate between different environments is paramount, but so is the privacy and integrity of their personal data. Joining me in studio to discuss these implications is Craig Blichnot, who is Senior Product Manager for Wi-Fi at Vox. Craig, it's good to see you. Welcome to the show.
Thanks, Nathi. It's good to be here.
Great. Craig, the distinction between the physical reality we live in and our digital lives is blurring more and more over time. Would you describe data as being the lifeblood of modern living?
Absolutely, Nathi. I mean, you call it a lifeblood. I mean, it's affecting our modern society. It's basically something we can't live without nowadays. So, you know, it's driving our productivity. It's driving our systems that we rely on from a day-to-day basis. Mm-hmm. And it's really keeping us connected to our families, to our work colleagues. And it really is something we cannot live without. Mm. I would agree with that.
So what would you say are the trends in data consumption? How are people consuming data?
Well, if you look at IoT devices, you know, definitely starting to have machines connected to, to data. Mm-hmm. So that everything is in real time. People have moved away from waiting for data to be given to them. So it's very important that it's real time, mm-hmm. and that they have access to what they need when they need it. Mm. So I think that ultimately, you know, it's going to increase productivity. It's enhancing personal experiences, and you know, it's also facilitating innovation. Yes. In a large way.
Yeah. So talking about innovation, I mean, AI is the buzzword of the day. How are AI technologies, which have been described as data hungry, how are they changing how data is being consumed?
Well, I think it's more predictive. Mm-hmm. So they are able to, provide from a content perspective, marketing that is very relevant mm-hmm. to all the users. Yes. In terms of their usage, it's analyzing what they're interested in, and it's really giving more targeted marketing campaigns to users that will be interested in that particular line of marketing. Mm-hmm. And I think, from a technology perspective, AI is also helping to just improve the experiences that people are having mm. with their technology. So, from a Wi-Fi perspective, it's working better. It's, able to track your devices a little bit more closely mm-hmm. so that everybody, feels that they're having a personalized, targeted, good experience. And AI is being integral in delivering that to people.
Okay. But now for people, you and I, who are connected to networks, who are consuming the data, how we actually access data actually influences our behavior. I know that when I'm at home and I'm connected to a fiber line and Wi-Fi, I behave very differently to when I'm on the road and I'm using mobile data. How is connectivity and the way people are connecting changing?
Well, I think the mobile technology is evolving at quite a rapid rate. There's been a larger adoption of 5G technologies, mm-hmm. and that does increase the speed and the data delivery mm-hmm. to the mobile devices. But I think people are still very cognizant of when they're using mobile data versus when they're in an environment that has a fixed line mm-hmm. access. So, maybe they'll save their big data downloads and very high data demanding streaming services yes. would be used more from a home fixed line environment.
Yes.
But there's obviously room for both. And I think they really help each other, to fulfill gaps where one is not able to deliver,
yes.
Then the other one takes over and okay. vice versa. Yes. So you'll see when you arrive home, your Wi-Fi automatically kicks in on most devices. Yes. And then when you leave the house, seamlessly handing over to mobile data.
Yes.
So I think people are becoming very aware of that. And, you know, for them, it's just an always on connected experience.
Oh, okay. And but Wi-Fi has made a contribution by making it easier to access data services. How has that happened?
Yeah, I think with Wi-Fi, you know, the way the technology has been set up is that, you know, it does connect, you know, to the devices a lot quicker. Mm-hmm. And just, you know, because it's been configured correctly and all the service providers in the back end have got all the necessary technologies and pipelines in place, et cetera, mm-hmm. it's just making access to all the data seem like real time. Mm-hmm. So, you know, people are obviously streaming a lot more without the hiccups of buffering, you know, in the past. Yes. And I think with Wi-Fi, you have a very small environment that is more, you know, able to be controlled by the users. Yes. So you can have your fiber line or your LTE even come into your building, mm-hmm. but you can disperse that within your environment in a controlled way through a Wi-Fi setup. Mm-hmm. And that means your experience will be a little bit better. Whereas with mobile, you know, cellular technology, they can't always control, you know, getting into buildings and through thick walls. And, you may be subject to whatever signal you can receive in your home is the best that you'll get. You know, you can try and get boosters and what have you. But ideally with Wi-Fi, you can control the throughput and the experience that you receive there.
Okay, so talking about experience, now when you get into the enterprise space, how a business offers Wi-Fi to guests, to visitors, actually becomes part of the brand experience. How is that shaping up?
Yeah, it's, you know, within Vox, it's a very key talking point and a good solution and product offering we offer to our customers in the sense that, you know, people expect Wi-Fi when they go to an organization or a retail environment. And very often the organizations are paying for that Wi-Fi but not getting anything in return. Mm. Now they have the ability to offer a dedicated guest Wi-Fi for their visitors, which could have a branded captive portal or landing page. Yes. So you can promote your business, maybe offer some reassurance that this is a secure network because the brand is trusted. Mm. And at the same time, you have then separate or segregate the guest Wi-Fi network from your primary admin network. Mm. So you're able to then control what they have access to. Yes. And then it's more secure and there's no vulnerabilities that could be created on that network.
Yes.
So there's even specific terms and conditions that those users would have to then accept, mm-hmm. which can also offer good marketing potential for the future because they're opting in to receiving communication from those organizations.
Okay. Talking about this, the security aspect, I mean, it's people move, trust their home network and probably you trust your mobile network. But when you get into a space, a building, you're visiting, you're there for work or a meeting, how do you ensure that you're actually connecting to a secure network?
Well, I think the first rule that we would want to recommend is don't connect to networks that don't have any security, encryption or protocol. So open networks are to be avoided. Mm-hmm. And then when it is a secure network, you know, a lot of our enterprise companies or customers that offer these solutions are fast adopting the newer technologies like, you know, Wi-Fi 6 and 6E and even 7 at times. Mm-hmm. And those now have enhanced encryption like WPA3, which is just, has learned from the past in terms of better encryption. So they're now only allowing devices onto their network that are authorized to be on that network. Mm-hmm. So there's no rogue devices or devices that, you know, could be, on the network with malicious intent.
Yes.
And that's what they're trying to avoid. So I would say when a corporate or enterprise network is properly set up, then it has the ability to, you know, be more secure and trustworthy.
Okay. And now the corporate itself, obviously you said they have opportunities to market to these clients. They're collecting some data. Mm. What responsibilities then fall on them as a collector of user data?
Yeah, so within our systems, and I mentioned before the terms and conditions that get accepted, which are over and above our sort of product offering terms and conditions. Mm-hmm. So customers are then accepting the opt-in, which mm-hmm. now along with the rest of the you know concise wording in that those terms and conditions mm-hmm. now is very POPIA compliant yeah. and internationally compliant. Mm-hmm. So you know a lot of these visitors also have international guests. Mm-hmm. Our data can then be collected by means of a survey. So. Mm-hmm. Our customers can choose what questions to ask their customers mm-hmm. to gather the data that they would like. So there is some data in the background, like, you know, maybe it would even show what language the phone is set in, you know, mm-hmm. so they could communicate to that customer in their specific language. Yes. And, you know, what region they've come from. So there is some background info, but it's mm-hmm. it's more designed around learning about the visitor's behavior, you know, how mm-hmm. long they're going to be in a particular area of the store, for
yes.
example.
Yes.
But all 100% POPIA compliant, and mm-hmm. I think it makes it an easier way to start direct marketing and communication to your customers by being POPIA compliant upfront. Okay. I would say very similar to how you know a newsletter on a website asks for your approval before they start sending you information.
Okay.
So you don't want to in this day and age spam people.
Yes.
And then that would actually be a negative impact on your brand.
And the experience.
So you want that two-way communication.
Okay. And I mean, when people come into your space, your building, whatever it is, there are areas that perhaps have better connectivity than others. Mm-hmm. How do you ensure that the Wi-Fi experience is uniform throughout?
Well, when we look at an enterprise organization or when we scope for a more thorough and comprehensive Wi-Fi solution, mm-hmm. You know, over and above guest Wi-Fi, we're looking to enhance the Wi-Fi first before we can offer it as a guest Wi-Fi because you don't want especially guests, you know, to have a poor experience because mm-hmm. then they'll probably choose to opt to their mobile data or some other form of connectivity. Mm-hmm. But we do, you know, RF heat mapping. Mm-hmm. So we take floor plans of the environment. We do site surveys. We do a thorough investigation in terms of what construction has made up that building. You know, is it single brick, double brick? You know, all the factors that can negatively impact Wi-Fi, like mirrors, glass. In fact, glass, you would think Wi-Fi travels easily through, but mm-hmm. it's one of the biggest limiting devices. Yeah, interesting. Yeah. So then we look at very specifically what type of access points to recommend for that preferred solution mm-hmm. and where the placement of those APs will be.
Okay.
So once that is catered for, with expert knowledge, then we can pretty much guarantee the Wi-Fi experience. Okay. So part of our solution is to take the guesswork out of, you know, the Wi-Fi coverage.
Okay.
Because you don't want to say, I think an access point might be suitable here.
Yes.
And then, you know, after the installation, customers saying it's not adequate and mm-hmm. the experience is poor.
Yes.
And then going back to reinstall would be negative for both ourselves and our customers.
Okay.
So we try to get it right the first time.
Okay, excellent. And Craig, just looking at the future of data consumption, I mean, it is rising over time. Where do you see it going?
Well, if you look at the history of where it's come from, you know, especially if you look at mobile data, I know that our year-on-year increases within our mobile environments is in excess of 30% per year increase. Mm-hmm. And I know on the home user front, you know, there's been a lot of faster uptake since the COVID-19 pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
People, you know, improved their infrastructure and their Wi-Fi at home quite considerably.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you've seen a big uptake in the amount of data consumption mm-hmm. within homes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, now there's a lot more video calls, that are quite data rich,
yes.
and maybe more time at home with a hybrid working environment. So they're spending more time at home. At the time, children were actually being educated from home as well.
Mm-hmm.
So those were video calls. Streaming services, I think in terms of your entertainment, a lot more of that is starting to come from streaming services, which consume a lot of data.
Yes.
So I think over, you know, year on year, it's certainly starting to double every time within a home environment.
Mm.
And especially when people get more comfortable and trust the reliability of it.
Yes.
You know, then they'll possibly start moving away from other technologies more towards data technologies.
Okay. Craig, thank you very much for your time and for your insight.
Thank you, Nati. Very good to be here and thanks for the time.
My pleasure. That is Craig Blachnot. He is the Senior Product Manager for Wi-Fi at Vox.